Good day, good people, and welcome to Contemplative Interbeings Wisdom Wednesday. I am Brother Robert Farrell. We are glad you're here. If you will let me please know that you can hear me okay in the chat section, and if any time there is an audio or a video issue, just drop a note there in the chat section and we'll pause to get it corrected. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast. We invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central here on Crowdcast, and that way you can become part of the dialogue and discussion that happens after our musings. And whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being part of Contemplative Inner Being. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom is not knowing more, but wisdom is knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And Wisdom Wednesday was created as an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotion, all of you. Yes, indeed, open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of human consciousness and transformation of the heart. Today we're going to encounter two brief wisdom musings, and each one's going to be followed by a minute of silence. And in that minute, you're invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. These are our simple watchwords, our signs to know what we're going to do in contemplative practice. Resonate. Does something connect with you? And it might be symbolized by a single word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect. Take time to meditate with images and thoughts. Respond. You can respond by journaling, by prayer, or even by body movement. Rest, just to simply be silent. Silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. And then we're going to close with a spiritual practice and group dialogue. Today's theme, as you already know, is Teresa of Avila, and our opening video highlighted some great parts of Teresa. So with an open heart, a calm, centered presence, and a gentle breath, let us begin. Teresa of Avila's life provides us with an exceptional example of bringing the contemplative and active life together. And we need good examples. And her life displays both a profound internal depth and an exceptionally productive outcome. And at the age of 20, after much deliberation, she chose to enter the Carmelite monastery in Avila. Her relationship with the beloved God at this time, it was kind of superficial, actually. And at the age of 40, Teresa finally surrendered to her beloved. Her real life and work had begun. She then returned to her prayer of quiet, returned to allowing the beloved to lead her, and to no longer relying on her own techniques. Meditation became essential to establishing a clear and firm foundation with the divine. She would constantly return with and to her beloved to receive guidance, love, and a feeling of deep peace that she could not find elsewhere. Teresa did the work to return to an emphasis of prayer, poverty, and simplicity. Because the mystical life is often lived in the world, even though it is not of the world. A true mystic? Well, a true mystic displays an extraordinary energy for the work of service in society. And throughout her life, she reiterated that the ultimate purpose of union with God is really to give birth to good works in the world. She knew that perfection is the recognition of God's seamless perfection, woven into the fabric of our life, and it's always present. And the way of perfection is practicing fraternal love, practicing non-attachment to material things, and it is authentic humility. I can almost say that it is through a kind of luminous darkness of non-attachment and humility that's how we come to be seized by real love, by God's love. And the only way that conversion, enlightenment, and transformation ever happen is by divine ambush. So we are modeled by Teresa to learn to trust that the darkness of intimacy will lead to depth and safety and freedom and love. Things like certitude and rigid social order really has not served the soul well at all. And God, by whatever name you like to use, well, God tries to bring us into a bigger world. A world where we are not in control and no longer need to look good. Because when we are empty instead of full of ourselves, and counter to our intuition, it's our suffering that brings us a new level of intimacy with God. And you will find this throughout Teresa's writings. You know, God doesn't require our opinion and has every right to point out that we don't have any idea what we're asking for. All we have to do, is to cultivate the practice of prayer. And to cultivate the practice of prayer is to prepare yourself with sincere effort and intent to bring your will into harmony with the will of God. No surprise, sometimes people become peevish about their state of prayer. They don't dare to move or let their minds be stirred for fear of jeopardizing the slightest degree of devotion or delight. They are struggling to understand the path to union. What the Beloved wants from us is action. What He wants is that if one of your friends is sick, you take care of her. Don't worry about interrupting your devotional practice. Have compassion. If she is in pain, you feel it too. If necessary, you fast so that she can eat. And this is not a matter of indulging an individual. You do it because you know it is your Beloved's desire. And this is true union with God's will. What He wants is for you to be much happier hearing someone else praised than you would be to receive a compliment yourself. Teresa was a great example that if you have humility, that is easy to do. It is a great thing to be glad when your friend's virtues are celebrated. So here we're going to enter into the silence with Teresa to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Teresa of Avila teaches us to live the human adventure with zest and enthusiasm. And she calls God the sun, S-U-N, the sun in the interior of the soul, casting that brilliant light into every corner of our being. And when she prayed, Teresa looked at fields and flowers, reading from the book of nature. She loved to live near water with good soil and gardens because nature awakens us and reminds us of the Creator. Praise and glorify God as Lord of the world, and beauty exceeding all other beauties. Turn to nature was Teresa's lesson. Go to some place where you can see the sky and walk up and down a little while. Because Teresa's message is that God is infinite and everywhere. Rejoice as much in meditating on creation as in meditating on the divine. The mystery of water, the sparrowhawk, and the tiny ant. Any of these is enough for a whole period of prayer, immersing us in the wonder and wisdom of God. And the spiritual life is like bees making honey, silkworms spinning their cocoons, fish swimming in a running stream. We may encounter God's majesty as a mighty eagle or a roaring lion. Teresa continues to teach us that to let the images of flowing springs and pools and wells and fountains and rivers and waves and the sea urge us to irrigate our hearts with the waters of life. And with a fire in our fireplace or out in the wilds, reflect on the raging flames which enkindles us with the fire of divine love. Where has this zeal and enthusiasm gone? Will you make it come alive again? Teresa was all about experiencing divine union, because experiencing divine union allows us to enjoy our own lives and to stop creating enemies and thinking we need to be afraid of certain people. to stop fearing nations and races we feel we have to punish and kill. When we are enjoying deep union, we won't need to create divisions, mistrust, and separation. And Teresa knew that true spiritual encounter changes our politics. It changes our attitude toward money, our use of time, our relationships towards foreigners and the weak. And it changes our attitude toward war and nationalism, because Teresa knew we are citizens of God's big kingdom now. So be prepared to have a very different lifestyle after. And if you are not ready to change, don't seek out God. Teresa often cautioned, when you seek out God, you will change. And once we have one sincere moment of divine union, we will want to spend all our time on the one thing necessary, which is to grow deeper and deeper in love every chance that we get. When you understand Teresa, you will understand the depth of love in a way that's never been understood before. It is all about love. It's all about union. And if you want to make progress on the path and ascend to the places you have longed for, well, friends, the important thing is not to think much, but to love much. And so to do whatever best awakens you to love. So let us enter into practice together, as Teresa did, to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. And let that be our prayer, that we might come out changed and awaken love in the world. Well, friends, thank you so much for receiving those few musings on Teresa of Avila. I hope that it is enough to wet your spiritual whistle, where you will want to learn more about her and see her example of how she lived life in union with God. This is the time in our evening where I like to share a spiritual practice with you. And tonight's spiritual practice comes from James Finley. He calls it the I Love You Prayer. And actually, the Center for Action and Contemplation produced this in a video format. And I'm just going to share it in that way so you can actually hear Jim's voice. So enjoy that. I had the honor of sitting at Jim's feet one time when he taught this practice. So let me share that with you now.
So I invite you to sit still, sit straight, fold your hands like this in prayer. And while seated, bow. Shunryu Suzuki says, when we bow, we give ourselves up. If ever you get to a place in life where the only thing you can do is bow, you should do it. So as contemplative women and contemplative men, we bow in communal gratitude for the miracle of being here together like this in this moment. Then sitting still, sitting straight, your eyes closed or lowered towards the ground. Slow, deep, natural breathing. We would start first just by becoming aware of our breathing. Then, with childlike sincerity, with each inhalation, listen to God's silent, I love you. God giving herself away to us whole and complete in the self-donating gift of this inhalation. Then, with each exhalation, exhale yourself in love, in a self-donating act, giving yourself to this infinite love that with the next inhalation is infinitely giving itself to you. For in the reciprocity of love, destiny is fulfilled. Inhaling, exhaling this love. Then, and as you were really doing this, it would depend on what would arise within you next. So if you're in a state of peaceful tranquility, choose something right now. Become aware of something burdensome, either in your own life or in the life of a loved one, or a source of fear, or a source of confusion, or a source of abandonment, something that's burdensome to your heart. And then as you inhale God's self-donating love, loving you through and through and through and through, burden and all, finding no hindrance to the burden to being infinitely in love with you. And then with each exhalation, exhale yourself, giving yourself in love, burden and all, to this love this loving you, burden and all, unexplainably forever. And end by asking God for the grace of returning to this love bond over and over and over again, until little by little it becomes an habitual underlying sensitivity to the rise and fall of the unfoldings of your life.
May that practice be something we can hold close so that we find it second nature, first nature, to give love away in such an infinite way. This is the time in our evening together that we say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners, and we're going to enter into dialogue. So to say goodnight, I say it with my reminder that love is the way. You are love. So stay awesome and be love. And we hope to see you again soon.